This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, we always begin with the Wednesday General Audience. So what was the main message of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, this morning?
Well, John, Pope Francis had started last week his catechesis on the topic of apostolic zeal. So we continued on that topic, and today he asked all to look to who he called the unsurpassable model of evangelization, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. And the Pope noticed that during Christmas, the gospel especially looks to the Jesus as the Word of God, because this is highlighting an essential aspect of Christ, because, of course, he is always going outward. He's always pouring out, and his service is being directed towards others. He said that Jesus says, of course, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his own life. And in a similar way, then, we are called to do the same. Pope Francis this morning turned his thoughts to shepherds. He talked about what it's like to be a shepherd, that it's not just a job. He says it requires a lot of time, a lot of dedication, because it's a 24-hour career. You live with the flock. He said, this is how Jesus gave his life for us. He stayed with us. And in that, we discover his pastoral heart, which is always beating for that lost sheep. So he said that that sheep who is confused or far away. Pope Francis said that when a person hears that someone has left the church, they should say to themselves that they would want to go out and find that person to bring them back, because Jesus' example shows that it's important to long for those people who have gone away, and that Christ's pastoral heart really misses the person who's left. And it's not out of anger or resentment, but Jesus goes out to find that lost sheep out of pure longing for each one of us. So he described that longing as God's zeal. And so then Pope Francis stressed that the best way to train an apostolic heart for zeal is to always think of that lost sheep, to always be looking for that lost sheep. And he also tied it into the importance of prayer, that Christ made all of his decisions and his important decisions after praying. And through prayer, Jesus' mission is revealed to him. So he invited all of the faithful today at the audience to pray for the grace of a pastoral heart. And then at the end of the audience today, John, he asked all present to remember in their prayers many Christians who have suffered violence, who've suffered violence directly. And he spoke in particular about Father Isaac Aki of the Diocese of Mina in Nigeria, who was murdered last Sunday in his residence. And he spoke about praying for consolation and peace in Ukraine. And then when he addressed the French-speaking pilgrims today at the general audience, Pope Francis asked a group, especially from the Democratic Republic of Congo, to pray especially for his upcoming visit to the country there, John.
Well, Ashley, he continues to pray for Ukraine, and many prayers are needed because they had that terrible helicopter accident near a kindergarten this morning that killed around 17 people, including the interior minister. So many prayers are needed. We need to continue to unite our prayers to those of the Holy Father. Hey, one quick thought. This coming Sunday is Word of God Sunday, and every week, week in and week out, Pope Francis always draws his homilies from the Word of God. He really wants us to dive into the Bible, and I think that's such a beautiful thing, something that he instituted a few years back.
Yes, in fact, he says that it is our duty to bring the Word of God to those who we meet, and those who, what he said today was those who are entrusted to us. So in other words, those who God specifically has crossed our path, and those who we just more, quote, randomly encounter in our daily lives. And so he spoke about our responsibility for that. And so, John, as you're saying, in order to fulfill that and to do it with zeal, all of us, the faithful, have an obligation to be informed and to know the word well so that we can share the truth.
Great reminder for all of us as Catholics. After all, the Bible is a Catholic book. Meanwhile, they're in Roma. They are preparing for the upcoming Jubilee year of 2025. What is going on?
Yes, 2025 is coming up sooner than we all think. And in fact, Rome has now unveiled dozens of major infrastructural projects that are going to be carried out right here in the city. So our mayor met with Pope Francis, and he has laid out 87 what he calls essential projects. And the cost is going to be up to 4 billion euro from the Italian government. So the aim is that all of these projects are going to be complete by December of 2024. And there's going to be things like building new underground car parks and pedestrian underpasses, also fixing up the area around our main train station called Termini Station. They're going to resurface some roads. They're going to improve public transportation and lighting. And they're also going to add more public bathroom facilities. And so our Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, said that these things are essential because the event of the Jubilee is inextricably linked to the identity of the Eternal City. And this is, of course, a celebration that occurs every 25 years, or typically every 25 years, because extraordinary Jubilees have been called throughout the centuries. But in the year 2000, which is called the Great Jubilee of the New Millennium, there were 25 million pilgrims who came to Rome. So we are expecting quite a major influx that year, or coming up in 2025. And then this is, of course, a time during the Jubilee year when the Pope will open the holy door at St. Peter's Basilica, but also at the other papal basilicas at St. John Lateran and St. Paul's Outside the Walls and St. Mary Major. And those doors will be open from just before Christmas of 2024, and then will end on the Epiphany at 2026. So that gives us plenty of time to start planning our trip right now, John.
It sounds like a really exciting time coming up in 2025. 4 billion euros. Roma is getting a facelift. In fact, I remember back in 2000, you know, touching that door, walking through the door that Pope John Paul II opened for the Great Jubilee.
Yes. Yes, and of course, there is the promise of a plenary indulgence attached to that door in keeping with the typical conditions. So to pray the creed, to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, to receive the Eucharist, to go to confession, and then the last one is the hardest one, to have a disposition of detachment from sin. So we do have the opportunity in passing through a holy door each day to potentially receive an indulgence.
Meanwhile, when I think of Rome, I think of beautiful museums and incredible art, but yet I understand there's a new school of arts in Roma.
You're right. Actually, believe it or not, a new school has started based at the Vatican, based in their office of the, it's called the Fabric of St. Peter. So in Italian, we say the Fabrica. And they are in charge of taking care of the conservation and the maintenance of St. Peter's Basilica. Well, they have launched a new School of Arts and Trades, and they are offering technical formation and teaching for future stonemasons, carpenters, marbleists, etc. So this week, 20 students began their training. There's 12 young men, 8 young women. They're coming from Italy and Peru and Germany and Belarus. And the courses are right there in the workshops of the Fabric offices. And so each of these students who has enrolled has already received some kind of technical and artistic training. And so the idea is to enhance that training with the formation of the San Pietrini. That's what we call the conservation experts who work for the Fabric of St. Peter's. San Pietrini, the little St. Peter's, in other words. And so these young artists are going to train with them through 6 months of lectures and seminars, and they'll have tours, and they'll even visit different locations throughout Italy. They'll also learn about the spiritual aspects of the basilica. So we certainly hope that this is a very positive sign for Catholic art and culture, John.
And Ashley, you never know. There could be a new modern Bernini in the making.
Well, I certainly do hope so. And Bernini and Michelangelo were so successful because of their very deep theological education and formation. And it's out of that that their art came. So yes, let's pray that we have artists who are expressing the truth of the church through their artwork. Sounds great to me.
In addition to art, wine is something else that Italy is known for. What is happening with Italy's wine producers? Apparently they're not happy with Ireland.
Oh, John, this is a real fight between pasta and potatoes here, John. So Italian wine producers have strongly objected to a new plan that's coming out of Ireland, and they are requiring legally that there be health warning labels on wine bottles shown that are sold in the country. So basically, these health warning labels will outline links between alcohol and cancer. And so the Irish government has made this plan to put labels on bottles of wine and beer and spirits. And this is kind of like what we might see on a packet of cigarettes, for example, those warning labels. Well, they're going to talk about the danger of liver disease and the risks of if you drink while pregnant. So in the meantime, Italy has reacted in a very strong way. Our foreign affairs minister said this decision from Ireland is absurd. They called it alarmist. And they're not taking into account the difference between modern consumption and alcohol abuse. They said that it is disproportionate, and it is a direct attack on Italy, the greatest, the leading producer and exporter of wine with more than 14 billion euro in wine sales every year. So we shall see how it all settles out, John.
This is getting personal for the Italians who love their vino.
Yes. You better believe it. Absolutely. It's very much part of the Italian identity. And interestingly, in Italy, we have very low incident proportionally of alcoholism. And one of the reasons that is purported is that because it's so common in the culture here.
And finally, there were some special celebration for yesterday's feast of the Abbot St. Anthony.
Yes, exactly. So sure enough, this is a huge day for Italy and especially Italian farmers. St. Anthony Abbot is the patron saint of domestic animals. So in keeping with tradition, farmers and pet owners throughout the country brought their animals to their local churches for blessings. And right here at St. Peter's Square, they also had a very special celebration. So despite the cold and the rain, people still came out with all their furry friends, and Cardinal Gambetti, who's the archpriest of St. Peter's, he has celebrated a special mass inside of the basilica. And in his homily, he spoke about how St. Anthony was sought after for his wisdom, because he said that in addition to scripture, he looked to creation to read the thoughts of God. And then during the offertory at the Mass, local farmers brought up cheese, eggs, and other farm-grown products. And then after the Mass, there was a big parade of horses down the Via della Conciliazione, the long street leading to Vatican City. And all of it finished in an open-air stable right there outside of the square. And this was put up by the Association of Livestock Farmers. And Cardinal Gambetti then went and blessed all of the animals there. Apparently, he's an animal lover too, because he pet and greeted many of the animals along the way. And then in Benaia, which is not far from Viterbo, Italy, they had a very exciting celebration. I was there on Saturday, and they were building the biggest bonfire I've ever seen. So imagine this huge pyramid-shaped logs set up in the middle of the main piazza of this town. It was 20 5 feet high. It was 80 feet in diameter, all these logs right there in the main square. And what happens is that for an entire year, young men who join the association of the Sacred Fire of St. Anthony, they have to be between 18 and 30, and they start collecting the wood. They'll even take days off work to collect the wood. And then on the night of the feast, the fire is lit. And why? Because it's meant to be a hymn to life in the dark of winter. And as the crowds stand around, there's music playing and they all chant, Aviva Sant'Antonio, long live St. Anthony. In the meantime, horse-shaped cookies are served. And then the famous Cavallucci cookies that are made with hazelnuts and candied fruit and cinnamon and nutmeg. And people enjoy them with sweet wines like Vinsanto or Asti Spumante.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.